Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Gems. And as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral. And as always, we're in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist, even if they're invisible. And of course, guys, as always, the Honorable Tesla and the fan. All right.
With the ear flaps.
The Honorable Tesla's like, ear flaps, I want out. You're not petting me. Ear flaps again. And the Fantastic Miss Frida is trying to make a nest on a pillow. And of course, the very illustrious Buttmeister himself is here. Accompanying him again is the very illustrious AI, GLaDOS herself.
I thought I was the disembodied voice.
You're interchangeable.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
You have much more dimension of character than some villains written.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I want to point out, I'm not Buttmeister today. I'm Ron Wilson, bus driver.
That would be you. You are aware of that issue.
Actually, no. I've been told by... Anytime nope. I watch this movie nope. with people, they get to the boomer scene and go, that's you.
No, no. If you're going to quote Ron Wilson, bus driver...
Ron Wilson, bus driver.
Then that's you. All right. So Sky High, 2005.
Oh, I'm so glad we get to do this movie right after Wonder Woman. This is such a nice breath of fresh air.
So all I got to say is that it was Uncle E. At Swamp and Jack's.
Okay, cool.
Because me and him were talking about a song, and I was like, oh, it's like, yeah, it's like, this is from where? From that movie. He goes, man, I miss watching that movie. I want to watch that movie again. I was like, we're reviewing it. He's just like,
let's do it.
What?
Yeah, let's like, do it.
We're reviewing it. And I think I told him a couple weeks ago that we're reviewing it because of him, and he's like, oh, wow, thank. Like, he was like, I guess he felt like honored.
I'm so glad we get to talk about this movie because I love this movie. It is so underappreciated and so underrated. I don't remember if it was a DCOM or it had a limited theatrical release.
It was a theatrical release because I saw it in theaters.
Okay.
At Clearview.
Okay.
But it was supposed to have a TV show based off of it. But
But
it never came to fruition.
There is a TV show based off of it. It's called My Hero Academia. But
you mean the anime?
Yes.
It's not a TV show. It's an anime. It's two different.
It's a TV show.
Hold on, that's a genre. Wait a minute,
Admiral. Actually.
Well, this guy already putting up his already being a nerd.
Oh, I don't have mine on. Wait, shit. Okay. Yeah, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready.
No, but if you do it, it's two fingers up. That's nerd and silent.
No, I think. Is it actually? Really?
Yeah, nerd.
This is nerd.
Yeah.
Remind me to do that to you several times in front of
In front of our friend. Yeah.
Yes.
Silent but deadly?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He gets to pick his own nickname.
All right, that's fine.
So you have to ask him.
Look, the listeners can't see us signing his sign name, which I don't know his sign name. Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, do you want to do it again for me?
Yes, that's fine.
This is besides the point.
So, let's start off with Sky High. So, me and Patron watched this recently, and she had an affiliation for the guy with the pyro of the universe.
Yes.
War and Peace.
And I had an fascination with the shapeshifter that could shape to a guinea pig.
Magenta.
Yeah, Magenta.
She's a guinea pig, not a gerbil.
Sorry, you're right. It's a guinea pig.
There's a difference. And Patron just looks at me halfway through the movie and goes, I'll dye my hair purple if you put a red streak in your hair. And I'm just like, whoa.
We'll bring over the
beach. That went really quick.
I have no problem having fun with y'all's hair.
Like, she just turns to me all seriousness and just set it up. And just like, okay.
Let's do it. I will turn her hair purple I will turn yours red. Let's do
it. So I am still thinking about it.
Think about it.
I'm still thinking about it. It's not as permanent as a tattoo. That's just...
Hair is temporary.
Exactly.
And I won't hurt your hair. Pinky promise.
And that's fine, but...
Remember, the
only
difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut is about 2 weeks.
And that's
two or three weeks.
Oh, really? Ned's the classified school survivor guy? And you told me that with Coconut Head?
Honey, I have seen many a crying child in the salon... going back to school crying because their mother is forcing them to cut their hair. That is the best and easiest line you can tell a screaming five-year-old. The only difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut is 3 weeks. You just wait.
That's why you get your haircut a month before you go back to school.
Try telling that to all the parents who didn't think about it until 2 days before school and now their daughter's going to get a demerit for their hair.
Try telling that to all the brides who decide that it's a good idea to get their hair done in a drastic way the day of their wedding.
Nope.
That's a bad idea. That's anyway, fine. Sky High.
Yes, so...
Can I tell you a little fun tidbit I just found out on the Wikipedia page?
Sure, if I could get in word in edgewise, that'd be great.
Apparently this was written by the creators of Kim Possible.
Yes. I love it!
Yeah, that's why if you go on Disney Plus after you watch it, they...
It recommends Kim Possible?
The live action.
Nice. Oh, ew.
Exact reaction Patron had.
Oh! Ew.
I haven't watched the live action Kim Possible, and I'm not going to.
Don't!
I'm not going to.
I would do the movie, the animated movie, before I do that.
There's two of them.
Well, I didn't even know there was a second one.
Stitch in Time.
Oh my god, it's Kim Possible the movie. Okay, it's Stitch in Time and Kim Possible the movie.
I'd review those two before we review.
Oh, boo. Okay.
Before the live action one.
As in, you've done them already?
No, I would review them before I do the live action.
I'm going to save you the trouble. Let's never review the live action.
Okay, cool. Is that one of the movies that we're not allowed to review? There's
That's up on the listeners, board right next to Last Airbender.
There's a list of movies.
I'm going to twist your arm one day. I'm going to get you to review Last Airbender one day.
No, that movie does not exist. The movie does not exist.
Just like we're never going to review Avatar.
There is no Carolina.
The 2009. We're not going to review Avatar 2009.
Okay, but does that mean we get to review Avatar 2021?
No. No. No.
No?
No.
We don't get to review...
Just like we're not reviewing Titanic. We're only reviewing James Cameron movies up until True Lies. After that, he is not a filmmaker anymore.
So, Aliens?
Yes.
Yeah?
After True Lies, he is not a filmmaker anymore.
Oh, okay. All right.
He is a philanthropist that wants to go ahead and show everybody
his cool new toys.
Exactly.
All right, that's fair. All right.
That's why we're not.
So Sky High. This is a universe in which super. Frida, that is my crush and my phone.
She jumped on you in a single bounce.
Yeah, she did. She leapt over me in a single bound. So Sky High, this is a universe in which superheroes definitely exist and have existed for several decades, several generations.
So would you count this in the same universe as The Incredibles, but live action?
Kind of, sort of. I think that's more or less what they're going for. They're definitely going for the simplicity of the comic book superhero universe where superheroes exist, don't think about it too hard.
Yep. So we get Kurt Russell basically as Colossus, but no metal skin. And we get his wife, who I believe died recently within the past couple of years, if I'm not mistaken.
Hold on, looking that up.
Pending research.
We get her flying around.
Kelly Preston as Josie, as a, almost as Streamliner. Yeah, July 12th, 2020.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And then we also get son.
I know you talked about your crush in this movie and Patron's crush in this movie. My crush in this movie was Kelly Preston. Was the mom.
Jetstream.
No, and that's fine. I thought the other day you were like Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And I was like, for me, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is Scott Pilgrim. If it was between her and Envy.
100%.
It's between her and Envy. Maybe it's just because Envy's Brie Larson. And then you also have April Ludgate in there. So that's three women.
Have you done Scott Pilgrim?
I think so.
Dang it.
I think I have, but I'll have to check again. Because I know that GLaDOS, that's one of her favorites.
Yeah,
so.
check the captain's log.
But whatever. That's fine.
The Admiral's log, sorry.
I mean, technically it's a ship's log.
There you go. Same difference.
It's the show's log. How about that? The show's log. You want me to do volume one or volume two?
So we get a narration from Will Stronghold that his parents are the biggest superheroes in the world. But, you know, to him, they're just mom and dad. And he's about to go to superhero high school for the first day as a freshman, and he still hasn't gotten his powers. And up till now, he's kind of faked it with his dad, because classic suburban dad who's too busy to pay attention to kids. It's, you know, it's a trope. But it's a well-done trope in this movie, because Kurt Russell's a good actor.
But can I say that I'm glad that he's not a reporter, or he's not a photographer. He's a real estate agent.
They're well-known real estate agents, which is a terrible cover.
But it makes sense that they can get away with it and do all the superhero stuff because they're real estate agents, so they only need to show up for work once or twice a week.
Yeah. And they have their names out there. Once your name is out there, you're golden.
Exactly. Go on.
So, he's going to superhero high school for the first time. They get there, they meet, the bus pulls up, and we get...
You don't want to talk about his friend?
His best friend, Kay Panabaker?
Who's like... his girlfriend, or possibly not his girlfriend. It's that weird, and she's wearing a skirt with jeans, according to Patron, exactly.
Very, very early 2000s. Don't you dare comment about our skirts and jeans. Thank you very much.
No, I legit turned to Patron and go, is that a... She goes, yes, that was an early 2000s thing, so we don't talk about it. And I was like, cool.
I mean, later on in the movie, Magenta's wearing what I'm calling a Target t-shirt. It's just a graphic tee, but it has the Target logo. It's Magenta with her color scheme.
Oh, I trust me. I stared at her wardrobe.
Excuse me. The Target is on a titty. It just firmly on the titty.
I am very well aware.
So you know precisely what shirt I'm talking about.
Are we not going to talk about how Mary Elizabeth Winstead straight up steals Elle Wood's wardrobe from Legally Blonde?
But wears it better?
Oh no, you don't want to talk about how she's basically a villain? Like the way she has it?
We're getting there. Oh, okay.
I mean, the movie's over 16 years old.
Like it's
so weird.
I know we talked about Wonder Woman 84 last week. If you don't want to watch Wonder Woman 84, go watch this instead. It's genuinely a lot of fun.
Because Linda Carter is the principal?
Yes. Much better Linda Carter cameo in this movie than in Wonder
she's
Woman.
She's not Wonder Woman, you know.
I'm not Wonder Woman.
Yeah, much better Linda Carter cameo.
And we get Bruce Campbell?
Principal. Bruce Campbell playing himself. And I'd like to think that if I had a superpower, like... We are going to bring up the question at the end for the people in the studio and for listeners at home to please tell us, if you could have a superpower in real life, what would it be? I already know Gladys's answer. Mine is basically to be Coach Boomer and have a deep booming voice and have control over sound. That's my thing. That's basically what my bard does in D&D.
I want enough power for me to be a hero, but not enough for people to count on me enough. If that makes sense. Like, I'm right there, and I'm a hero, but call somebody else. Call somebody else.
So would you want to do, like, the Mr. Fantastic stretchy powers?
No, time manipulation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Time manipulation could be a lot of fun.
And also, by the way, why the hell is Mr. Mandula not Dr. Mandula?
Dr. Mandula. I think that makes... You mean Pleakley, first off?
Oh, yeah.
Before he even spoke a line, he walked into the classroom, and Buttmeister explained to me that, you know, it's been a while since he's seen the whole movie, so he remembers some things, but not, like, the whole beat. And I'm telling you, I saw the room shake, everything go dark, and I just go, oh, hi, Pleakley, before he even walks into the room, and he's like, holy shit, that is Pleakley.
Patron goes, I love his voice.
I love his voice so much.
Because that's his natural voice.
That's 100%.
That's his natural voice.
I love it.
Just like when we saw War Games and Mandark was in it, that's his natural speaking voice. That's just him.
So I'd either do time manipulation or Mr. Mandula, but with a doctorate.
Dr. Mandula.
Yes. Dr. Mandula with time travel.
Dr. Oblongata.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Because I get both the good twin and the evil twin at the end.
Mandula, you dog! This Friday, you say?
I just am like, make him a doctor, damn it! Dr. Mandula! That's all you gotta do.
Okay, I this is a slight side tangent. I understand having nitpicky things with movies. The one wish you could give a movie, and for you right now, it's to have Dr. Mandula be doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you my nitpicky wish that I just discovered because I'm a terrible Harry Potter nerd?
No, I was going to say that Kronk does the voice of...
Hang on, we're getting there.
Okay.
No. My nitpicky is, God damn it, let Hagrid have a dragon! Let Hagrid have a dragon! Sorry, that's my nitpick. We're going to go on. Enough side tangent.
Okay, so first day of school, he comes back, doesn't have his powers, but Dad doesn't listen to him, so he takes him into the cave, and we see all the gadgets and shit.
The cave?
The sanctum. The stronghold.
It should be called the stronghold.
It should be called the stronghold.
Okay.
Because their last name is stronghold.
I just want you to make sure that you say the sanctum sanctorum.
It's not the sanctum sanctorum.
It's the stronghold.
It's the sanctum.
Okay. I just want to specify that it's not the cave.
It's not the Sanctum Sanctorum.
It's not the Cave of Wonders, unfortunately.
Because the Sanctum Sanctorum is in its own little pocket dimension that you can only access with the magical Eye of Agamotto and the Doctor Strange powers and all of that fun stuff.
Your nerd patch is still there. It's ironed on.
I know. I wear it proudly. Thank you very much. That's why they call me Butt Maestro.
It's
anyway.
You ironed it really well today.
I learned my lesson from last week when it fell off. Where was I?
In that really weird tangent joke that nobody really got, but
yes, okay. The cave, the sanctum, the stronghold. They're in the stronghold.
Look, I got pool! Look, I got a pinball machine! Don't bring anybody down here!
Oh, it's...
Okay.
It's the pacifier. The pacifier meant to take out the strongholds. The pacifier meant to take out specifically Mr. or Mrs. Stronghold. The stronghold's pacifier. That's some clever foreshadowing for later. Anyway.
And then, you know, he recounts all of his greatest, like, defeats. And then we get to see, I guess, Stitches is... Because we have this intercut of...
of a bad guy.
And Stitches.
In a dark cave with... Dean Pelton
from Community. Okay, cool. I didn't know if you knew that.
Oh, 100%! I recognize his voice immediately.
And then, did you guys know that this movie was filmed at one of our coworkers' college?
Oh?
Yeah.
Where was this?
It was filmed, I believe, in Northern California. It's the bald guy that works in wine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because I would just mention to him that
Tiny Tony Hawk.
Yeah. I was mentioning to him that we were reviewing this.
That is not an official nickname yet.
That is Tiny Tony Hawk. That is his official nickname.
Y'all are terrible. Terrible.
Okay, can I tell you whose nickname that is for him? Ed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay.
That's their nickname for him.
Because we were talking about, because I mentioned, I sent him, somebody had an abandoned church and they put a half pipe in it. And he's like, oh, they had one down there. And he was like, you know what they called it? I was like, Holy Rollers, that's a good name. And he goes, no. He goes, Hail Skatin'. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, that's a good one. And he just looks at me and goes, but Holy Rollers is a good one. I was like, I stole it from The Simpsons. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
I do love Hail Skatin'. That's pretty great.
But I told Milkman about it, and he's seen it. He's seen it, which I'm not surprised. But this was filmed at Tiny Tony Hawk's... library. So that specific that building is specifically the library
on
campus.
Just the library.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And he said they had this big crane. And you have to talk to him a little bit more. But he was in class when they had this big crane and they were filming. I'm assuming the final sequence. But he said it was pretty cool. He's like they put like these walls up so they could actually CGI out everything else.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting that we got to talk to somebody that actually. Was around when they were making the movie.
Yeah. So you're telling me that they didn't actually shoot at a high school in the clouds?
You know why? You know why they didn't? Because Tom Cruise is not a part of this. That's why. Tom Cruise is not a part of this. You don't know that he's filming a space movie in space?
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
You did not know that?
No, I didn't.
He has a movie coming out, I think it's next year, set in partially in space. And they're going
to
film it
shooting.
In space.
Kind of like how Lady Gaga wants to be the first artist to perform in space.
Or have Elon Musk have a car that has Don't Panic to be, taken aboard an alien spaceship and they just look at it like, what the fuck?
Anyway, sky high.
I was talking to Patron about this and I was like, Kurt Russell is an Everett man. And she just goes, he's a really good dad.
He is a good dad. There is a little...
To a certain point.
He has some moments. He gets better.
He's a suburban dad.
He has a problem with listening.
But he got over it. I mean, this is a lot of growth for everybody.
I'm sorry to say this, but as men, we are aware that we don't listen all the time.
Correct. This is something we actively need to work on as men.
I just want you to know.
100%.
Okay, cool. You go ahead, GLaDOS. You go ahead.
I think he does grow as a father. I think he's... I mean, even there's one line in the movie that he admits he's farther along than his own father was.
Yes.
You see Will doing a lot of homework with the other sidekicks and everything, and Will goes into the kitchen, and his dad starts asking, does that one kid really glow? You know, like, they really have lowered the bar for heroes, and Will's like, no, they're sidekicks.
He's like, oh.
Oh, I could only imagine what would happen if my father saw me bring home a bunch of sidekicks back in my day. Like, you can already see there's a little bit of growth there in that one line. It's terrible, but it's growth. Yeah.
Which, by the way, he makes a tuna salad sandwich in his outfit. He's gonna get it smudged, possibly.
I like that that's your contingency. Mine is, he's making this tuna salad sandwich on the bread. He, like, put the tuna on there, then he grabbed the thing of mayonnaise, he asked somebody else to hand him, like, mustard or something. Like, he's making the salad on the bread, not in a bowl then on the bread.
I'm sorry. As an actor, you are not supposed to eat when you're in costume. You're supposed to change out of your outfit, then eat.
Same rules apply for cosplay.
Sorry. That was what I was just like, what the fuck?
Okay, can I just say how much I love the costumes in this movie, though?
Yeah, the costume design is phenomenal!
I really wish that all the kids would have gotten some kind of little costumes at the end of the movie.
You don't want to talk about Flick? About how the teacher is Flick?
Which teacher is
Flick? The sidekick teacher.
Mr. Boy?
That's the voice of Flick.
Is he actually?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
The only Flick I know is from Pocahontas. Who's Flick?
Flick
from Bug's Life.
Oh, shit!
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Because that whole running and him sliding into the bench up against the wall, I just turned to Patrona and go, that's a Flick thing. She goes, oh, that's definitely a Flick thing. Yeah.
That makes sense. I do love him, and I love the whole sidekicks class thing.
He never mentioned me, ever.
I mean, he's obviously too busy to go through the scrapbooks that I took the time to make for him.
I'm like, that's me. That's me.
Your mom! Your mom, did she mention me?
And then I love how he affectionately goes to grab her when she's being turned into a baby.
Yes.
Well, he saved the commander's life. It only makes sense that he saves the Jetstream's life, too.
Yeah. We're like really down this weird rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah, we're all over the place with this movie.
But basically, he goes to school, you know, a regular high school drama, but with superheroes. Hey, you're new to school, freshman? Oh, we're gonna kick your ass. What's the two characters from Power Rangers? The bullies from Power Rangers?
I know who you're talking about. I'm not gonna bother to look it up, but I know who you're talking about.
Those are those characters. Those guys. That's the stereotype of those guys.
100%.
And then we get Coach Boomer being like, alright, come up and show me your power. Oh, you melt? That's it?
Impressive for a popsicle.
Yeah. Car!
Yeah, that whole scene is awesome. And like we said, he goes home, has a study group with the sidekicks. What about
sidekick? Sidekick.
that all happens.
But that scene alone... He goes back to school. That scene alone, everyone needs to watch. Even if it's on YouTube.
It's just a funny little scene. Yeah. It's
Bruce
funny
Campbell thing. Chewing up all the scenery possible.
Oh, Bruce Campbell as himself.
And I think that's the only scene that he's really prominently in. Because every other one, he's like, he takes like third chair back. But that one is the one where he's just like, you know. Like,
okay, but even when Bruce Campbell is sitting back and taking that third chair back, he dominates the scene for the little bits that he's in for it. Like, later on during their little obstacle course, save the citizen thing. Like, Boomer's definitely there.
Yeah. Oh, remember when he used to use real citizens?
Talk about stakes.
So they go back to school.
And he accidentally trips and spills all his shit on War and Peace.
Which is the son of his father's arch nemesis?
Former arch nemesis who he got locked up. Which, by the way, the fact that this guy didn't play live action Zuko is a fucking crime. because this guy would have been perfect for a live-action Zuko.
I don't know why you keep talking about a live-action Zuko. There's no live-action Zuko. But, there's never been a live-action
Zuko. But all I gotta say is, when we were watching this, I had my hair in a ponytail, and Patron's like, he's got his hair in a ponytail. He's got his hair in a ponytail. And I was like, okay, can I watch the movie? I don't want to watch it like this. Can I watch the movie?
This is such a fun movie.
And then also, I like the, oh, yeah, I've become popular now that I'm a hero. I'm going to go hang out with the popular kids. I'm going to forget my friends, but I kind of have feelings for my best friend. Well, let's meet at the Chinese restaurant at 8 o'clock. Okay. No cell phones are needed in that scene, but three scenes later, they're like, oh, let me text him or call him. It's like...
Also, keep in mind, these are freshmen in high school. They're, what, 14, 15? They're not making rational decisions. They're freshmen in high school, hormonal boys with superpowers. You can't expect them to be making rational decisions.
I mean, if I had the choice in this movie between Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Daniel Panabaker, I would go with Daniel Panabaker.
To each their own.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I've always liked villains more.
I'm sorry. She can build a hut and we can live off of things that she can grow from things. That's fine with me.
Porque no las dos?
If I could have Magenta and Daniel Panabaker, do it.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
Do it.
There, you are opening a whole weird can of fanfiction-y worms. Pretty sure it already
exists. And a lot of people are like, oh, whoa, you grew. I was the same age as these kids when this movie came out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I literally am Danielle Panabaker's age. I'm pretty sure she's also
a YouTuber. So, you know, maybe from Arrested Development?
Yes.
Me and her have the exact same birth. Like, we are.
Oh, nice.
Birthday twins!
Yes. Yes.
Birthday twins are always fun,
we are
y'all.
She's born in 89, just like I am on my birthday.
Aww.
Never mind, Danielle Panabaker is about 4 years older than me. That's okay, though.
So she's around my age.
Yeah, she is. She's 87.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So that's why they're around my age, so it's not creepy. No.
And there was something I had to think about, you know, the first time, oh my God, the dad takes Will into the stronghold and everything, yes. And I had to stop and just think for a moment, okay, wait, how old is he? Like, this is almost like a teenager finding out something about their family history or something. Like, how old is he when he's getting being able to go into the sanctum? How old is he? Like, what is a freshman? So I had to count backwards. And seeing the actors play 14 to 15-year-olds, the writing does pretty good with it. I think the actors do all right with it. Yeah, you're never going to get actual teenagers to play actual teenagers, but I think they do an all right job with
they
it.
Do
I
a
really
better,
do.
They do a better job than the movies that came out at the time.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, because it's Disney, so they have standards.
Yes. Anyway.
I'm just thinking sorry, about, because right after this that. Time frame with Disney, they started going into other...
That is Quaritch Leachman. Okay, cool.
They went into other developments, and that's when they started getting into Bella Thorne and Zendaya. And I'm just going to stay quiet for that, because yeah. That's the later years of Disney.
That's yes. The Disney that doesn't count toward us.
Just like how there is no live-action Zuko.
There is no... other Avatar live
there
action.
Is no Carolyn HR.
There is no Carolyn HR, and there is no Tensioner Pulley.
That's a whole weird
there
little
is no,
inside
there
joke.
Is no pandemic.
No. There is a pandemic. Wear your fucking mask.
There is no war in Ba Sing Se.
And then, so he starts hanging out, you know, and then he's like, Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character is like, oh, sorry, it's just my friends texting me. We got to hang out and talk about the prom. Is it okay if they come over? Yeah, sure, we're just kind of a small meeting. Fucking party
whole
and
party
suit?
Comes over.
Yeah.
And this is after he ghosts Daniel Panabaker for dinner so that he can have dinner with her and his parents.
Yes.
With Mary Elizabeth
and
Winstead.
And then he takes her into the stronghold.
The yes. One rule. The one rule. Like, here's a brand new car, son. Don't drive after 10 p.m.
Here's a brand new car. Don't eat or drink in the car.
Like, you have one rule. One rule.
And he broke it.
Yep.
Instantly.
I'm pretty sure his father could have allowed the rule to be bent if it was Daniel Panabaker's character.
I don't think he would have a problem with that.
I
They've
think
known
that
each
would
other
be fine.
Since they were in the first grade.
Exactly. That would be fine. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, a person that he just met?
Total stranger.
But already has the parents in her pocket.
Yep.
Because they're getting the Hero of the Year award.
Yep. So we get the Hero of the Year award. It's a ruse because Mary Elizabeth Winstead character is
Royal Payne,
who is from their high school years.
Yes.
The parents' high school years.
She was the girl that disappeared because apparently they didn't know what a technopath was. They just thought she was a science nerd, and so they relegated her to sidekick. And so, being an angry sidekick who was picked on by all of the jocks, she decided, I'm going to start my own superhero school with blackjack and hookers.
And pick on the sidekicks. Oh, okay, so there's never in the cycle now.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool.
So at the homecoming...
So wait, does that mean that Will was conceived on the night that his mom and his dad started hanging out together?
No.
Because they had to be at least a couple years, because she's a senior in high school, I'm assuming, and he's a freshman. So if she was turned into a baby on that night when they started working together, they had to have a relationship starting at that point. So, it could have been a couple years after...
3 or 4. Yeah. So, it gives them a little bit of time to get married and start the family and everything. But whenever Commander did
turn
what he thought was kill Royal Payne, but rather just turn her into another baby, I do love the line, I went through puberty twice for this. Brilliant line. Well written. I love the idea of planning for this many years a plot of revenge. That's why it works so well.
It's a long game.
Because
I have no problem with the evil plan because of how long
it is. Is it because revenge is a dish best served cold?
What is... I missed that.
First off, you mispronounced it. It's supposed to be revenge is a dish best served cold.
Well, I wasn't.
If you're gonna do the full,
I wasn't going to
Ricardo Montalban.
I wasn't going to enamor my horrible portration of Ricardo Montalban.
First off, portration.
Which, by the way, Patron did not know that he was
Khan.
No, that he was from Mexico. She didn't know he's from Mexico.
Oh yeah.
She was like, what? I was like, yeah. I was like, he said his first love is Mexico City, but his second love is the United States.
Yeah.
Like he is a very... She did not know who he was.
I believe he passed away in the mid-2000s.
Yep, because I think he did Spy Kids 2 and or 3?
3. He did 3.
No, okay, he was
wait,
in 2.
I know 3. What?
He's the grandfather.
2 is the volcano.
Oh, he's the grandfather.
Yeah.
He was in 2 and 3.
Yeah.
He was in both.
He was definitely in 3.
I see. Sure. I remember him from 2. Because after 2, I stopped watching.
That's fair. Did you know there's a 4?
Yep.
There's a 4.
Yep.
And from the same creators, there's now a second Lava Boy and Shark Girl.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl on
that
Netflix.
Thing.
Well,
yeah,
that's fun.
There's it. Yeah, that whole thing.
So we get Krunk doing the voice of Royal Payne when she puts the
yes, okay.
It's brilliant.
Oh my god, I love this so much.
Because I legit was like, is that...
It totally
yes, it
is.
Is that
Joe from Family Guy? I fully expect to go Bader. It would just not be out of place.
It was. This movie is enjoyable.
It's fun.
It's fun. This is a fun movie. It's a fun Disney movie aimed at kids. But even for a movie aimed at kids, it's pretty smart.
It's a nice movie that is good for you to just kind of turn your brain off.
It has a nice little anti-bullying message in it. The general, look, any movie that has a general message of, hey, don't be an asshole. Maybe check your attitude at the door. Maybe check on how you're treating your friends. It all boils down to the very last line in this movie, which Gladys was hyping up the entire time we were watching.
It's my favorite final line.
Can you please say the final line
of the
movie?
Line.
So in the end, my girlfriend became my arch enemy. My arch enemy became my best friend, and my best friend became my girlfriend. But hey, that's just high school. There's something so poetic about how it's written out. It's such a cute story. It's a fun time. It looks like it was fun for everybody on the production team. It's a good time.
They seemed like they were having fun.
Yes.
And as Tiny Tony Hawk, I'm assuming from his thing, is they were also having fun.
Yes.
But apparently, powers like these in this universe happen like the mutants happen. They only show when there's in great distress.
Well, according to Cloris Leachman, who plays the nurse, there are... There are instances of radioactive spiders and people getting dropped into vats of acid, including the bus driver who later on does get dropped into a vat of acid and becomes super bus driver, which is awesome. For the most part, yeah, it's like a mutation where it can manifest later in your, you know, mostly in your teenage years. And the whole thing is like, he might be a late bloomer. Oh, he gets both of his parents' powers. Cool. And I thought the first time watching this, I was like, if he gets his powers halfway through the movie, that like, that's, what's the point? But like, there's so many other things in the movie that they're building to, mostly the friendships. This is less a movie about superheroes. The superhero stuff there is more for spectacle than anything else, more for flavor, but it's a story about family and about friendships.
Yeah. Because you know why? He's got the touch. He's got the power. That's what he's got, man.
I'm leaving.
Really? The Transformers movie got you? The Transformers movie's got you? Oh, you've been replaced, apparently.
That's fine.
Yes, I sit here now. This is my chair now.
Okay. We've played musical chairs. Oh, good. I'm on the ground now. Yeah, oh, no, now you know the price of sitting in the chair.
Frida yes, has it is. It is lap. Frida's chair. I have made a mistake.
And then we get to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's the end. It's not badly written.
I would have loved a TV show based on this.
Would you have loved 6 episodes, same cast, and then done? Or would you like 2 seasons of recast all the characters?
I feel like if it's
a little bit of both.
If it's gonna be a series about Sky High, then it should be about the high school.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's kind of a fun way to write about, make it almost like The Office, in the sense that you're just going around Sky High and just filming different classrooms, different events, different things. It's not about one particular person or one particular group of people. It's just what happens in Sky High. Just the random shenanigans, random little bits, little acts of what happens in Sky High.
Okay.
I would have loved to see, I would have watched the hell out of a Sky High TV show, okay. No matter how they did it. I love the idea of an Office-esque kind of day in the life, slice of life kind of superhero high school show. That sounds awesome.
So we have a rating system here on Cinema Gems. Full gem, an amazing movie. Half gem, an alright movie. No gem, a horrible movie. So, what do you give it, GLaDOS?
I'm going to give it 1 floating gem in the sky.
Alright.
Whole gem. 100% whole gem for this one.
See, I give it a gem that's voiced by Joe.
From Family Guy. By Pat Warburton.
Yeah. Or Pleakley. It's interchangeable.
Beater.
Look, I like how the Honorable Tussle's like, just pet me.
I am.
Do you guys have anything else for a quarantine watch list this week?
What else have we been watching besides Judge Rinder and The Office? Lots of YouTube drama, specifically about Dream.
Okay.
Oh.
That whole Minecraft YouTube drama.
TLDR, speedrunning is a thing you can do in video games. It's not just playing the games, but how fast can you beat them?
There's so like many a speedrun?
Yes. There's many different categories you can run. This speedrunner has been featured on speedrunners.com for many different runs he's done. And then the newest Minecraft run, it is very RNG dependent.
Okay.
Doesn't matter how good of a player you are, it comes down to the game's generation of luck. After doing some research and some investigation, it's come out that the odds of which he's gotten some of his world record runs are just
impossible.
Not impossible, but statistically improbable.
So this is Donkey Kong all over again?
No.
Okay.
Yes, but on a bigger scale.
No. This is one category that he runs. Because I know Donkey Kong,
he's an emulator, so it's not technically the high score.
Yes, hear me out. It depends on the run, on the categories, and on the rules. Dream has done many runs for GDQ in which he's gotten actual world records doing complete normal, I mean, nothing cheating or anything. It's just in this new category with the 1.16 update. Mm-hmm. It's a new category, new run, and that's where it becomes luck dependent.
Okay.
There are some speedrunners that fully allow emulators. There's some games you can't speedrun without emulators. So it depends on the rules of the categories of which you run itself. I'm not going to say this is a big deal. It hurts. It's never good for anybody's reputation or for speedrunning in general. But yeah, that's a little bit of YouTube speedrunning drama, if nobody was aware. Cheaters can get caught. Don't cheat. Games sometimes just suck. And it sucks that you have the skill to get the record, but that doesn't mean you can manipulate the odds in your favor.
Right.
I have been reading Stowaway, and it's about a boy from 1929-1930 era, Prohibition era, that snuck on the boat to go to Antarctica.
Okay.
He was unsuccessful three times stowing away aboard both ships. So the first ship went with the men, and he stowed away on that with two other men. And they were all three promptly kicked off except for one. They put him as a cook.
Okay.
But he was a black man in the 1920s and 30s, so he got picked on by the other crew horrendously. And if you read the book of how they picked on him, it's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And then also the second ship left about a week and a half later. And it was filled with all the, you know, parts and technical, you know, down for the forest moon of Endor.
Sure.
And he got on that and got kicked off. Then he went down to Virginia, got on again, got kicked off. They loved his gumption so much. They're like, look, we've been through hell from New York to Virginia. Just come on and just work. So he was hired as the chef's assistant.
Okay.
And then he got promoted to coal. He was basically putting the coal into the engine. And then when it got to Panama, he saw the ladies and he was like, "Ooh, all the ladies." And it doesn't say that, you know, he did sleep with anybody, but we can assume he was a boy and just of age with some money in his pocket, so he was kind of like
a teenager.
Yeah. And he was also the son of an immigrant as well. And it just shows basically the whole, you can look this up, the whole world, the whole New York especially, was so for this kid getting to New Zealand and then him getting picked to go down to Antarctica. He didn't stay the winter. He went back home and then I think now I'm in the book where he's going back to New Zealand to go pick up the crew. But it just shows how if you stay to your dreams and stay a hold on of everything, then you can push yourself
your flaps and actually do water. It.
And that's what I think I like most about the story is that it shows his character that he's like, this is all I want. All the other kids in this neighborhood could name the rosters of the Brooklyn Dodgers. He can name the roster of what the ships. It's like, oh, this is what this guy does. Like, whoa, dude, you need something in your life.
Like somebody who watches way too many plane documentaries on YouTube, even though they have no flight hours.
Are you talking about me?
Or like someone who watches way too much Critical Role and can very accurately and in detail describe all of the different characters that all the different voice actors have played and recognizes the voice actors whenever they pop up in other things.
Are you talking about me?
Sure. Sure.
But no, it's just nice to see, because I never heard of this story.
That is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
And I was just like, whoa. I think I have like three chapters left.
Okay.
But his friends were so, I guess, jealous of him getting this, that they didn't realize that he was the youngest person to go to the South Pole, to go to Antarctica, until he died. Most of his friends did not know that, because he was trying to tell them, and they were like, yeah, like, dude, that was a month ago. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, forget about it. But yeah, it's a really good book, and the next book I'm going to read is the new Star Wars book, Light of the Jedi, The High Republic.
Nice.
That's the next book I'm going to read. But no, it was a really good read, and I really suggest, like, everyone checking it out. It's a really quick, fast read. I think it's only like maybe 14 or 15.
One of our Swapper of Jacks friends said that he's starting to read this as well. Defresh.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. And I'm just like, I want to hold my ears over my hands over my ears until I finish the book because I hear good things about it. I just hope we get to see Yoda in his prime.
Yeah.
I mean, 200, 300 years set before Phantom Menace. Come on.
It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. All I got, I want to see the Wookiee Jedi. That's what I want to see.
Hmm.
I wonder where his braid is. Is his braid his whole body?
I have no idea. I don't know. The idea of a Wookiee Jedi sounds awesome, though.
Does he speak in Wookiee-ese? With subtitles? With subtitles? The Honorable Tesla's like, you're speaking to me.
I'm sorry, Tesla.
But guys, that's all we have for this week. So you can reach us on the website, lowrainpictures.com. Martin the Arrogant Zerber, thank you for letting us use it. Go check out the Year 30 tab, guys. They are amazing, phenomenal, cool. And whenever they just kick Butt Meister in the dirt, he deserves it.
Yep.
And of course, also, Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. And also, guys, if you want to reach us, you know, via Facebook.
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, we want to be the show that you want to listen to. We want to constantly be improving.
I was going
to
end on that.
We also want to know what your chosen superpower would be.
Oh, yes, please. That's absolutely.
Prerequisite for this episode. You know, if you're going to listen to it, you have to tell us what superpower. So go ahead and tweet out at Robear at...
You can tweet the Butt Maestro at the Robear 2010 and Instagram the Robear MMX.
And you can tweet me and Instagram me at Holland Sci-Fi. Did you ever pick your power?
Oh, people don't like my choice.
I specifically wanted to save yours for last because I know your answer and it's great.
Is this a world where everybody has superpowers? No, I'm just asking if this is a world where everybody has superpowers.
Sure. We don't know if everyone has super. I mean,
but there are other superpowers.
SpongeBob, who is about to get crushed by the school when he just picked his new house. Yes, that was Tom Kenny.
Yes, I know. He told me it was Tom Kenny.
And by the way, Patron goes, I like that he's in his SpongeBob outfit.
Right?
If you're in the if you're in the Sky High universe, so the people around you also have superpowers.
So in high school, everyone around you has superpowers.
Yes.
Wonderful. I'm the mimic.
Okay.
I can see somebody else's powers and replicate it. I am a mimic.
Okay.
That's my power.
You're rogue without having to touch.
I was like, say, you're kind of rogue, but that's cool. Why are people upset about that?
Because it's the ultimate power.
You're basically Mystique, but you get the powers.
It breaks the question. It ruins the fun.
You're rogue without having to sap their life force.
Yep.
She's rogue and Mystique.
Somebody said it's that person from the TV show Heroes, but I never watched it.
The first season is really good. After that, I don't watch it anymore.
Okay. It's kind of like Lost.
Zachary Quinto's character actually does that, except he takes Rogue's thing to the extreme of, like, to take your powers, he has to literally kill you and suck your soul.
I thought it was eat your brain.
I thought it was something about a brain, too.
Something like that, yeah.
Maybe I'm getting confused with Hannibal Lecter.
Who the fuck knows?
So I'm okay with that mimic. That's cool.
That's okay. I'm just a mimic. That's my power.
But guys, yes, let us know what your superpowers are. I would prefer not to know if you want to talk to animals, because I wouldn't want to talk to animals. Sorry, I love you.
Talking to animals could be cool.
I love you, Tesla, I do, but I don't want to hear about you. I would love to talk to Tesla and Frida only. I wouldn't want to hear about the squirrel that, you know, is trying to scurry away from the car.
I don't know, sometimes it would seem fun to, because I've seen squirrels curse out Bunker before. I've seen them do it. Squirrels have cursed out my dad before. I would love to hear that.
No, the Fantastic Miss Frida as well. Yeah. And then she's just like,
so what do squirrels sound like when they curse? That's what I want to know.
They sound like.
What are they saying?
Whatever they're saying. Get away from my nuts! I don't know.
May your tree be empty by fall.
I like that they're Viking.
I don't know.
I like they're Viking.
You know, when you're that small, you put up a fight. Have you seen a chihuahua?
Well, first of all, squirrels are just rats with fluffy tails. Let's be honest. Yes, we're down the squirrel hole!
Alright, I'm going to get us out of the squirrel hole. Guys, thank you again for tuning into another interesting episode of Cinema Gems.
Would you say fun?
Yeah. This is
like the movie? It's a very fun time.
Absolutely. It's funner than last week.
More fun, first off. Second, you're
right. Okay, I was going to say, I was waiting for him to disagree.
You're absolutely right. It was more fun than Wonder Woman.
Alright guys, but that's all we gotta say, so wipe your hooves and see you later, and also Black Lives Always Matter.
always, and please wear your mask in public. We love you guys. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.